In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. A pastor one evening was at the stewardship committee meeting, and the meeting focused on being more resourceful and more frugal with what one has. So the pastor, after the meeting, thought to himself, instead of riding on the bus home, he would run behind the bus to his house. He arrived home and he walked the door huffing and puffing and panting and sweaty. So his wife asked him, "Well, what happened to you? Why are you all a mess?" He says, "Well, our committee tonight talked about the importance of being frugal, the importance of being resourceful. So I thought, instead of riding the bus and spending $1.50, I would run behind the bus." His wife looked at him and said, "Honey, you're an idiot. You should have ran behind a taxi. That way we would have saved $10. Today begins our 4-week focus, an important focus for the life of our outreach. It's our annual renewal of stewardship. The scriptural theme this year for our renewal are the words from the psalmist. Quote, "What shall I give to the Lord in return for all his benefits towards me? What shall I give to the Lord in return for all the benefits he has given towards me?" Christian stewardship, at its heart, is an understanding, a recognition, that everything is a gift from God. Time is a gift. Our talents are a gift. Our very souls and our very bodies are gifts. Our families, our spouses, our children are a gift. Our finances are a gift. The psalmist asks, "What shall I give to the Lord in return for all his benefits towards me?" Christian stewardship, because the world has this understanding of stewardship, okay? There's a Christian stewardship, and it's focused on tending God's church, in particular, one's parish, or in our case, an outreach. And to the degree that every parishioner gives sacrificially to accomplish this great work, we are able to fulfill more faithfully the great divine mandate. Go and make disciples of all the nations. So through our hospitality, through our selfless giving of our finances, through our selfless giving in the ministries of serving or chanting, reading, baking the korban, making meals for those who are sick, for those who are mourning, for those who are destitute, taking time to pray for those on our prayer list, helping to plan, coordinate, and execute our socials and office work, assisting with the office work. Each baptized person has a moral responsibility to give a portion of one's time, a portion of one's talents, a portion of one's finances, treasure, to the work of the outreach, because it's toward the work of the kingdom. That's how we fulfill the words of the scripture, the words of the psalmist. What shall I give to the Lord in return for all his benefits towards me? Christian stewardship has four principles. Four principles. First, God gives to us. Second, we return to God. Third, we give God the first fruits. Fourth, we each give proportionally. The first principle, God gives to us. God gives to us everything. Our life, our time, our families, our faith. And yes, while we work hard for what we earn, who gave to you the very talents to do your work? God did. Who's given you the health and the body that you can have and use? God did. Who gave you your spouse? Who gave to your children? God did. This week, as we enter into this time of renewal of stewardship, take serious time and ponder the blessings that God has given to you. What shall I give to the Lord in return for all his benefits towards me? The second principle. If God has been so bountifully generous towards you and me, what is the proper response? Is it to hoard and build bigger silos and wider silos to store all of our stuff? Is it to splurge more on really useless things or just in general material things? Is it an opportunity to self-indulge? These are luxuries of a first world nation. The Apostle Paul teaches these words, quote, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." So, says St. Paul, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly and not out of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. End of quote. And the psalmist asks, what shall I give to the Lord in return for all his benefits towards me? The third principle. Well, what do we give back? We don't give back to God the second best. We don't give back to God the leftovers. We don't give back to God as an afterthought. We are called to give God our best. We call it the first fruits rather than the leftovers. In the Old Testament, we read these passages. From Exodus chapter 34, quote, "You shall bring the very first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God," end of quote. In Proverbs chapter 3, we read, quote, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce," end of quote. And from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, we hear Moses instruct thus, quote, "And behold, now I bring the first fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God, and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The scriptures are clear. God does not receive the leftovers. He receives the first fruits. When you make the payments on your car, when you make the payments on your house, think about that next time. You're able to make those payments because God has blessed you. When you're able to pay for your child's education, remember this, that money is a gift from God. What portion of it have you given back to Him? The fourth principle is proportional giving. The Christian tradition, following the Jewish tradition, the biblical tradition, is called tithing, or 10%. We find that that 10% in that event, at that time when Abram went to save his nephew Lot from the pagans. And there was a great battle. And Abram defeated these pagan kings. And Abram was taking the spoils that he had won, and he was on the way back to his home. And along the way, he meets this mysterious king and priest, Melchizedek. The church fathers will later reflect on this was actually God, Christ himself. When Abram meets this mysterious king and priest Melchizedek, Abram, out of gratitude to God, gave to Melchizedek 10% of the spoils he won. Because Abram realized, my victory was by the power of Almighty God. Some centuries later, something unique happened. It was during the time of the prophet Malachi. Malachi was registering a complaint against the people of Israel. They were neglecting God because they were offering God polluted offerings. They were bringing to God for sacrifice the poorest and the worst of their flocks. And they were hoarding the grain and the cereal offerings. So they were keeping for themselves the better proportions. Malachi calls him out. And he says, quote, exactly these words. He quote, "You are robbing God of what is his." And then God does something I don't think he did anywhere else in the Old Testament. God tells the people of Israel, put me to the test. And he instructed them, quote, "Bring to me the full tithes into your storehouses, that there may be food in my house." and thereby put me to the test, to see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out upon you such blessings that you will not have room for it." And the Lord then continued, "You do this, and I will rebuke the devourers for your sake." End of quote. What were these devourers that God mentioned? They were the locusts. They were eating the crops. There was a famine going on at the same time. Who are our modern day devourers? Inflation, home expenses, car expenses, or with regards to our time, so many other activities that distract us or keep us from coming on Friday nights to Vespers, or a Sunday morning to liturgy. Or perhaps we get so involved with the things of this world, whatever groups and committees or work it might be, that we have no time or very little time to offer one's gifts to one's outreach, to God and His church. But the psalmist asks, "What shall I give to the Lord in return for all His benefits towards me?" Tithing one's time, talent, and treasure is part of one's worship. It's not extrinsic to it. When we offer them, we are then offering ourselves to what is the most important work that happens on earth. Let us not forget this. This is the work of the kingdom. And what happens in one's outreach, what happens in one's parish, what happens on Friday nights, what happens on Sundays, is for the eternal kingdom, eternal life. It's not our banks. It's not our workplaces. It's not our schools. It's not our airports. Where if you look at our society and look at where we spend our money and our time, it's on these worldly things. And yet to what is given to the church? Our first fruits or our leftovers? Christ is among us.